and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. A beautiful day up here in North Carolina. It's about 68 degrees. It's really nice, sunny class. Well, sunny with a bunch of chemtrails. they can't let us. They can't let us stay sunny for more than a couple of days. I have a story here that I just thought was so funny. It's this was from Bloomberg, and it says on costliest U.S. warship ever. It's an aircraft carrier. The Navy cannot get munitions onto the deck. Essentially, the ship cannot deploy, lawmaker says. Weapons can't be lifted to the deck of the USS Gerald R. Ford. Only two of the 11 elevators needed to fit the munitions to the deck of the U.S. Navy's $13 billion aircraft carrier have been fully installed, according to a Navy veteran who serves on a Key House committee. I don't see an end in sight right now to getting all of the elevators working on the USS Gerald R. Ford. I mean, what blows my mind, Austin? I mean, this is just planning and making sure things are done all right. This is running a spreadsheet to make sure things are done all right. Now they're going to find out the elevators probably aren't going to work properly, and they won't be able to do the right tolerances on it. They can't get them up. And, this is a major glitch. They're going to have to go in there with about a bunch of cutting torches and try to figure out how to make this thing work. And you kind of wonder, well, if you cut into this, and you guys have done this. I remember years ago, we were living with my mom. We first got married, and I decided to be nice and put a new kitchen in for her. And all I was going to start with is just basically fix the ceiling. The ceiling was a mess. And when I tried to fix the ceiling, the entire ceiling fell down, which caused the top cabinets to break apart, which caused the floor to get messed up. So before it was over with, it turned into this giant money pit. And I ended up having to redo the entire kitchen, which was nice for her, but it was still something we decided that I needed to do. That's what happens when you start cutting into the bulkheads of a ship that's already finished. And you try to figure out, well, wonder where this wire goes. I wonder where this thing goes, and you got to start cutting stuff. It turns into a giant mess. Billions and billions of dollars, and the Navy can't get the munitions on the deck. I just thought I'd start off with a perfect story of how our government is run, Austin. What do you think, and what's your first story?
Well, I mean, the irony of it, and this is what we kind of talk about jokingly, and it's really the truth, but I mean, you kind of just have to joke about it, this is what happens when you allow people to have control of other people's money. When you allow an out-of-control government that has no real oversight on the amount of money they spend, when they can pretty much tax as much as they want or raise the debt as much as they want or pretty much do anything they want when it comes to monetary policy, there really are no restrictions on it in most cases. There's no care. I mean, there's videos, and I've talked to numerous guys that are in the military, and they've been over in the sandbox, and they'll have, $50, $60, $80, $100,000 worth of ammunition, right? And they haven't used it up because they haven't gotten in enough gunfights yet. Well, the problem is if they turn the ammunition back into the DOD when they come back, the DOD comes in and reduces some of their ammunition spending bill the next year around. So they'll go in and they'll basically do a crock pot in the middle of the desert and dig a giant hole out and put all the ammunition in it and basically stack it with C4 and explode all the ammunition. This is all American U.S. ammunition, 5.56, 7.62, 51, 50 caliber, all kinds of stuff. Just dump it, burn it, blow it up, and there's videos of it. It's like a giant, insane gunfire fireworks show. And this, again, shows you the level of ridiculousness that we have reached in the United States, where there's no oversight on spending. If it's a couple billion more, it doesn't matter. Just add another billion to this, another billion to that. And we get, I think, so calloused when we hear about the federal budget. We hear, oh, it's another $10 billion for this, another $100 billion for that. Anybody understand, when they start talking about, oh, well, this is $300 billion for this, this is what the expenditures, this is what the budget is, $300 billion, that means that every single person, a man, woman, and child in the United States could get $1 billion off one $300 billion budget that they talk about. Oh, we're going to raise the debt ceiling another $300 billion. We're going to add this on another $100 billion. That's the level of lunacy that we've reached down the United States. And then we have the military industrial complex that is pretty much exactly what Dad's talking about here. where you have these naval ships, you have these submarines, you have these aircrafts. I mean, we've seen it with the F-22 Raptor. I mean, absolutely and total abysmal failure, money loss, decade, billions of dollars thrown into that entire project, completely urinated away to the point they had to essentially scrap it with Lockheed and go to the F-35 now, which again is going to be apparently cheaper, but still ends up going significantly over budget. And this is what we see running rampant, and this is why we are where we are. When you allow it to go completely out of control, and you allow the bankers to get involved with the Federal Reserve, and they have no restrictions, and you can continue to run up the debt and 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 print as much money as you want, you have exactly what we have now. And speaking of the Federal Reserve, this is ironic because now another whistleblower, one of the same ones from the tech company that notified Breitbart back in January of the term abortion being blacklisted on YouTube, has now confirmed that the term Federal Reserve is now being either blacklisted or essentially suppressed on YouTube, as far as YouTube likes and shows what they have. What they're doing is now they're only showing Federal Reserve videos when you type in the term search for Federal Reserve that essentially are more approved. This comes after Chris Hayes from MSNBC, one of the globalist news networks, went on Twitter and discussed the aspect of the Federal Reserve, and he said it's crazy how much information toxicity of YouTube's algorithm is. Imagine you basically go on there and you look up the Federal Reserve and you have a video that comes up discussing how bad the Federal Reserve is that has 1.6 million views. So of course Google apparently saw this and notified of this, so now YouTube has gone in and turned around and tried to suppress the search engines for Federal Reserve. Because why? Because they don't want the American population to see the truth of what the Federal Reserve is, what it has done to this country, and what the bankers that run the Federal Reserve have done to pretty much every single country and every single civilization for thousands of years. And that is why it is so important that we get the truth out there. YouTube's not going to allow it anymore. They're slowly, slowly boiling the pot with the frog in it, us being the frog metaphorically. And they're doing everything they can, from Google to YouTube to Twitter to Facebook, all of them suppressing true news that's going out there. I was even reading an article the other day how they were talking about how Instagram now has been bought out by Facebook, of course, already. And their Instagram now is suppressing algorithms and likes and the ability for it to spread when topics come up on the exact same thing now that we see, whether it be abortion, whether it be Federal Reserve, whether they have all these terms now they don't want people to talk about. It's forbidden. You can't speak of them. That's where it's headed. We haven't reached that point yet, but that's what they've done in the media. And it's ironic because I watched a movie the other night. It's a graphic movie, Gangs of New York. I've seen it years ago. I haven't watched it in a while, but I kind of want to watch it again from a different viewpoint. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the movie, there's this giant fight as far as the 5 points, which I did a little research on, and I found that the 5 points in New York in the 1850s was one of the most violent areas in the entire world at that point in history. And they had this big fight, and one of the groups that they killed the leader of was the Dead Rabbits, interesting name. But after he kills this guy, he says, "You are not allowed to speak of this name. You will no longer be allowed to say this name. It is basically a killing offense if you speak this name again." And, you know, years down the road, this guy's son comes back up to this area, and he mentions it, and one of his buddies goes, "Dude, you can't say that. You can't mention their name. That's forbidden. They'll kill you if you say that." That's exactly where this is headed right now. It's just in its infancy phases with YouTube and Google, to the point that they're going to start coming out at some point in time. Once they figure out how to suppress the First Amendment, they've already worked on it now with their fake news narrative and all the other lies that they talk about, and we see how they completely and totally dehumanize anybody that even questions vaccines, or we question the mainstream narrative, or we question gun control, or we question abortion. They essentially eviscerate you now. That's their way of deplatforming you and essentially making it so you don't speak what they don't want you to talk about. This is the beginning phases of censorship. Once it reaches a certain point, they'll say, no, you can't speak of that. And it's already like this in Germany and Europe. You just can't say certain words. You can't talk about it. You can't say that. This is forbidden. It's a forbidden word. Can't say that. that is where they're taking this, and this is why they're starting on this platform right now with YouTube and Facebook and Google and all this stuff to suppress it as slowly as they can, like a frog in a boiling pot, so nobody realizes what's going on, and it's happening right in front of our noses. And you give it another 5, 10, 15 years, there's going to be search engine topics that you're not even going to be able to bring up, just like in China. You bring up and search something in China that they don't approve of, social credit score immediately drops. You can't get a credit card. You can't get a hotel. You can't get an Uber. You can't get a good job. You can't get your kids into a private school. You can't ride on an airplane or a train. You guys already know what's happened. We've talked about it and verified it for months now. That's what they've done in China, and that's exactly what the globalist platform is going to do now. So, in all that said, it's crucial that we see the topics that are being suppressed in these social media sites, and we continue to talk about them. It's freedom of speech, and nobody can tell us what we can and can't say. The aspect of the Federal Reserve and its unconstitutional practices with the bankers needs to be addressed. The dirty vaccines and the Vaccine Act from 1986 needs to be addressed. Epstein and his pedophile orgy island and his blackmailing all these top listers in Congress and Senate with children, that needs to be addressed. These are topics that have to be talked about, because if we don't talk about them and we don't get other people talking about the truth, eventually a point in time is going to come, we're not even going to be able to speak of them, Dad.
Austin, you're 100% right. And, you know, and it's the truth. I mean, you know, we're not supposed to mention any of this stuff. We're not supposed to talk about it. I remember when I met those people from Germany that one time, they came by the house, and, you know, and I started talking about, you know, the Third Reich and Hitler and you know, and what happened in Germany. And they said they physically got scared and said, we can't talk about this. And my response was, we're not in Germany. Oh, you don't understand. These words are verboten. They're forbidden. We can't talk about them. A couple of years ago, and I covered this on the show, we were up at Whitefish, Montana, and we went over to Glacier National Park, and we took the tram because we were in an RV and we couldn't drive around the park, blah, blah, blah. So we took the tram everywhere. And we were in a tram. We got on there with a bunch of Germans, and I started talking to the Germans about, you know, and I'm talking to him in German because I speak German fluently. Well, you know, it's not fluent. Like, you know, I make a few mistakes here and there. But what happens is, you know, I start talking to them and I start asking them about the immigration problems in German. And they were just like terrified. They wouldn't talk. Oh, no, there is no immigration problem. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. That's all wrong. None of that is going on. So finally I get on the tram. We're sitting at the bus station when we were talking to them. So finally I get on the tram and we have to scatter around because the seats aren't available. So me and this one German guy, he's sitting up front with me, and all the rest of them are in the back. And he looked at me and goes, why do you speak such good German? And I said, meine Mutter war aus Deutschland, which means my mom was from Germany. And I said, meine Muttersprache war Deutsch. My mother's language was German, so that's what I learned. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, oh. And he goes, we didn't know who you were or why you were asking us these questions. You're right, the immigration. And then he starts just blowing off on the immigration, how bad it is. But he was so scared, Austin, to even mention it. And, you know, when you start talking about, you know, a $300, $300 million, or $30 billion, or $3,300 billion, I mean, you know, we've got 260 million people in the United States. And when you spend, like, $300 million on something that's a complete and total waste of money, you could give, like, everybody, like, you know, over $1,000 back in just tax refunds, tax kickbacks. And, you know, and so it's just, you know, we have this giant government that's spending literally over $1 trillion a year in deficits, that they're spending the money, borrowing it from the Rothschild banking cartel, selling the paper around the world to finance our giant deficits, only because we have the petrodollar, only because we have the reserve currency of the world. Otherwise, we would be completely and totally bankrupt, and nobody would buy any of our money. It would be another banana republic, you know, like Zimbabwe, when you have $200 billion for a loaf of bread, like the Weimar Republic was with $40 billion for a loaf of bread. People don't understand that. We have to discuss these things like you did just a minute ago with the Federal Reserve Bank. You've got to make sure that we all know what's going on. Look at Jeffrey Epstein now. They're setting us up to believe that Jeffrey Epstein is going to be killed. They're setting us up. You know, they put him in a room, in a cell. All he has, you know, he has marks around his neck, like he tried to hang himself. So they're telling us, and now all these other groups are coming out, Jeffrey Epstein's going to die in prison. He's going to die in prison. There's going to be over a million pages of evidence in his trial. You know, but they've already told us they suppressed the evidence from the 2008 trial. So now you're letting us know that he's not going to be alive, that he's going to die, all the other stuff. So that way, I'm gonna tell you guys this. Jeffrey Epstein is one egotistic whack bag. He wanted to seed the entire planet with his DNA, and he wanted to have his, quote, private part. I'm not going to tell you what that private part is. You can look it up. It's on my website. You can figure out what that is. Frozen, you know, for posterity. I mean, the guy's a sicko, man. He's a weirdo, sicko, nutbag. And, you know, and the problem is, he's Mossad. And he is completely bought into the lie of who he is as a billionaire. He's not a billionaire. He's a CIA Mossad operative who has a giant paycheck and a big credit card. That's all he is. And they provided him housing and private jets to entrap people from around the world. That's why nobody knows where his billions came from. This is why Donald Trump won't release his tax returns. He's not nearly as wealthy as he claims to be. And everybody in the upper circles knows this. I've heard a few people even say that he wasn't even a billionaire, which, don't get me wrong, he's got a pretty good net worth. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. He may have the ability to liquidate his assets and have some cash left over. They're all cutouts. You know, they're all Rothschild cutouts. Jeff Epstein is. Trump is. Trump was completely bailed out by the Rothschild banking cartel back in the 80s with Wilbur Ross. But nobody wants to talk about any of this stuff. And nobody wants to talk about any of this. Why? Because it's not politically correct. The other day, Austin, we were at Lowe's Home and Garden Center here, and you know, we were buying some stuff, and we were in line, and we were talking to a lady there. She's in her 70s, and she was a former home ec teacher, and we started just talking about, you know, how crazy the world has gotten and how politically correct everything has become, and how you don't know if a guy is a guy or a girl is a girl. Gene, one of our listeners today, sent me a text. He goes, "Is everybody turning queer?" He goes, "All these people going lesbo and gay." He said, "It's like it's trendy. It's a trending thing, guys." This is what they wanted it to do. They wanted it to become cool if you're queer, if you're gay, if you're trans. I mean, it's going to like set you apart. Like, oh, he's really cool. Look at him. He's a trans, or he's queer, or he's a gay, or what kind of crap is that? But see, this is the programming that they've been doing to us now since the 40s. You know, and that's why I talked to you guys about the Frankfurt School. This was done to us on purpose. This isn't something they just happened to fall into. This is all plotted out. They knew exactly how far they could push us. They still do that. They do it on algorithms or data points. They basically look at the internet, and they look at web traffic, and they look at what's going on. They analyze all the words. I mean, NSA's got these giant centers that record every single conversation we do. They analyze every conversation we do. They look for keywords, and that way they look for trends. That way they can say, okay, it's trendy now. Transgenders are good. Everybody likes trans. And so they can push that agenda more and more. Okay, it's not trendy that basically, you know, Gillette did this, so let's back Gillette back out. Okay, so that we don't hear much about that anymore. And this is how they manage us. We're like in this giant psych-op. Remember what William Casey said? That they'll know they've done their job of the CIA when every single thing that every single American believes is a lie? I mean, what kind of sick blankety-blank would say stuff like that? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, every once in a while you run into a person who's a liar, okay? And they've got these grandiose claims. They've done all this. They've done all that. They've done all this. They've done all that. And they're just making stuff up. I mean, they're making stuff up as they go. We had a guy one time who worked one of the motorcycle shops in Lakeland. And he'd just make stuff up. And finally, I went to the manager. And I said, "Why do you have this liar working for you?" "Oh, that's his nickname, is the liar." And I'm like, "Why is that okay?" "Well, he sells a lot of bikes." I said, "You know what he does to your reputation of your dealership?" I said, "What's he telling your customers? What's he telling your customers as far as perpetuating these lies that he's doing?" I said, "This guy's nuts." I said, "No, he's got like a psychiatric disorder. He cannot tell the truth." And guys, it's so important to understand this, that, you know, there are certain people out there that are psychopaths, and they just lie. Donald Trump's a liar. He lies about everything. "Oh, we're going to have 3 million people deported in 2 weeks. Yeah, what the heck? What was it, 28 people got arrested, or less than 100? What is that? What the heck? But people believe it. Why is it? Why do Christians believe the lies? Because the Christians try not to lie. So they try to believe that someone else is telling the truth. So they try to believe that person's a good person, so they'll tell the truth because they tell the truth. Because they, the individual, the Christian, tells the truth. Guys, the Christian culture is different. You know, I mean, there are many religions out there that say it's okay to lie to Christians. Some believe it's okay to kill Christians if they don't want to convert. I mean, but they can lie to us, but they can't lie to each other. It's okay to defraud a Christian. You think, well, what the heck do they really believe that? They really believe that. And this is the problem that you run into when these world leaders are of those religions or of those persuasions or of those mindsets. They're psychopaths. They believe that the ends always justify the means. It doesn't matter how many millions of people, like, what did Madeleine Albright say about the 500,000 children who died in Iraq? She says those were acceptable losses. Well, they weren't her grandkids, were they? Were they your grandkids, Madeleine? You can you hear me? Were they your grandkids? Were they your nieces and nephews and children? What about all the families that were torn apart? The devastation of all of those deaths. They were acceptable losses for you? 500,000 kids dead? What kind of sicko are you? Where do these people come from? 500,000 dead in some of these bombing raids in Germany in World War II? They set up to Dresden, up to 500,000 died in one night? What the heck? Those are acceptable losses for who? Who are they acceptable for? The mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters, the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents? What the heck? No. They're acceptable losses because a lot of these guys are druid, like Churchill was. And these are blood sacrifices. And they're trying to use Lucifer's power to win things and do things and get things done. And that boy requires a blood sacrifice. He always has. He always will. That's what Moloch did. That's what Baal did. That's what Asherah did. That's what Quetzalcoatl did. All these different symbols for Lucifer. Always the same group. Same group that offers the blood sacrifice. So always remember, find out who you can't talk about. Find out who and what you're not supposed to discuss, even at your own home, even in the quiet of the night. Find those things out, and you will quickly learn who runs the planet. What do you think, Oz?
That was really well said, you know, and it's ironic here. I saw an article that came out the other day, and it's funny because the mainstream media has tried to suppress this. I mean, they've tried to suppress it as hard as they can. Because, you know, everybody has pretty much come out now, like you said, with the trendy thing with this transgender, and it's all cool, and it's okay for transgenders to compete with, you know, guys that girls, and it doesn't make a bit of difference. And I mean, I've heard all the way from saying that, you know, they have an advantage over females, and that's a myth, and that it's basically fear-mongering, it's homophobic, just all this stuff over here. Well, researchers now have pretty much slapped every single hardcore leftist in the face, and now concluded with a full-blown research study that male athletes who claim to be female athletes hold an intolerable advantage over biological female athletes, even if they have transitioned over to females with hormone, basically, transition therapy. This is really funny. I mean, the article, it's not funny, it's ironic, because we've said this and we've been called every name in the book because we simply say this isn't factual. A man competing with a woman in a deadlift competition, in most cases, is always going to win, especially when you're dealing with a full-size grown man who now says he's a woman and then competing against a standard woman. It's unfair. And they said here it has an intolerable advantage. Results of a new study have ripped through the claims of the communists on the left that it is a myth or fear-mongering without any scientific evidence that inclusion of biological men in female sports will leave women athletes at an unfair disadvantage. Three professors, two in bioethics and one in physiology, note the International Olympic Committee is now allowing transgender women to compete against biological females if their testosterone is below 10 parts per liter. However, even that level is significantly higher than of the biological females, they assert. The author cites research demonstrating that healthy young men do not lose significant muscle mass or power even when their circulating testosterone levels were reduced for 20 weeks to meet the IOC's guidelines. What they're saying here is that even if a man transitions over, the bone structure, the ligaments, the joints, the muscle mass, all those things that were developed through puberty are still there. Now, the testosterone reduction not being there anymore will obviously reduce the strength that they maybe once could have, but still comparing them to the two is not even fair. They said, for example, hormone therapy will not alter bone structure or lung volume or heart size of a transgender athlete, especially if she transitions post-puberty. So natural advantages, including joint articulation, stroke volume, maximal oxygen uptake, will still be maintained. We conclude that the advantage to trans women afforded by the IOC guidelines is an intolerable unfairness, states the professors. The study titled Trans Women in Elite Sport, Scientific and Ethical Considerations is released after the House Democrats passed the Equality Act back in May, but did not get to the Senate. The act that they tried to pass, the measure would ensure gender ideology is cemented in federal law by extending federal protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. If the bill were to pass the Senate and sign into law, federal law would then force girls and women's sports to include biological males on female athletic teams if they claim there are women, and there would be no restrictions or ramifications that they could do about it in those sports. So this is a really good research article that came out now, because it actually proved, and besides, you know, the opinion and all this stuff that people have come out with now, a full-blown research study based on this. So I wanted to bring it up because it's really good one to have in your stack, in your, you know, your little pile in the back of your mind when you start getting into an altercation or an argument, or you hear one of these people that's hardcore leftist start running their mouth about all this rhetoric, how it doesn't make any difference and it's not fair if they can't compete with them and they need to be able to do anything they want. These guys say otherwise, and I fully agree with them, Dan.
You know, it's funny, Austin, though. It's not like the guy, they're right. It's not fair. I mean, you get a guy who's, you know, who's 5'5" and weighs 180 pounds and he's muscled up and he transitions to a female and he wants to compete in weightlifting. They're not going to have a chance against him. And just the way it is, especially if you've been on testosterone or hormones or HGH stimulator or whatever. And so what, he backs off, he still has a lot of lean muscle mass and he still has really dense bones and he has a lot of ability to pick up a lot of weight. And it's just, again, it shows the insanity of the times, that this is something that we even think is okay. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. By the way, a brain-eating amoeba has killed a woman up in Georgia at a water park. It got into her, basically, up into her nose, got up into her brain, got through the blood-brain barrier, and killed her. Really important. If you go to these water parks, you know, you check with your doctor. And I personally would irrigate my nose and my sinuses with a little bit of colloidal silver, you know, dilute it and use that. That's very, very important, because you don't want to be involved in swimming in these big water parts, you know, with bacteria and with other types of, you know, stuff in the water. Another article out of Breitbart, a woman nearly lost a leg due to deadly bacterial infection from a hot tub. That just sounds nasty. An Indiana woman contracted a deadly bacterial infection while on vacation, which caused her to nearly lose her leg. Brian Taylor, 26, of Indianapolis, said she's finally able to walk again after suffering a debilitating infection in her right leg, which came after she took a family trip to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Brian, with her husband and two children, were in Pigeon Forge March 2, 2019. She felt cramping and pain in her lower right leg. Over the course of 2 days, her leg began to swell. She felt a painful rash to the point where she could no longer stand on her leg. And I'm going to say something that's going to probably mess, because I haven't said this before, but I don't do hot tubs, public hot tubs. I just don't do it. I'm not interested in it. I don't want to have anything to do with it, because I don't know if somebody's urinated in the tub. I don't know if there's enough chlorine in the tub. I don't know if somebody in there has an infectious skin disease in the tub. I just don't do it. Now, I even have a hot tub at home that's attached to the pool, but we have to use the chlorine in the water of the pool because the floor, the bacteria in the water and the algae. So what I do, if I use the hot tub, I take a pump and I pump it out, get all the chlorine out, because chlorine's really hard on the skin. And I put fresh well water in it and fill it up, and then I heat that, and then I'll use it. And I may use it for 1 or 2 days, and then I just go ahead and turn it back onto the pool, let it recycle through, and I do it over again. So if I decide to do that, it takes 10 minutes to pump it out. Yeah, so it's not a big deal. And, you know, so you just dump it into the main pool, and usually the pool can handle the volume, and that's easier that way. You say, well, that's a big headache. I didn't say it wasn't a headache. I just didn't say it wasn't a hassle. I'm just telling you how convicted I am about chlorine. Chlorine was, you know, used in World War I. Chlorine gas was as a bio agent, as far as, you know, poisonous gas. By the way, the judge, this is heartbreaking to me, the judge dismisses the Covington teen's $250 million lawsuit against the Washington Post when they eviscerated him a few months back. I don't think that he really should have gotten $250 million. That is a bit over the top, $250 million. But I think that the judge shouldn't have dismissed it. I think it should have been left to a jury of his peers. And this is the problem when you start getting judges who basically rule from the bench without taking the law into consideration. This was a civil suit. I mean, this is something that should have been handled through the civil courts. And this kid was eviscerated by multiple newspapers with that silly Indian thing that he did. You know, when he didn't say anything, that guy was going to say, screaming and yelling at him. And they came back and said this kid was bad and precipitated, which he did not. And so it's a mess when the courts start legislating from the bench without that, and not have that right. So I really believe that, you know, that people, you know, should really be upset and should really protest on this, because this is a big deal. This kid, they did him wrong. They absolutely did him wrong. By the way, here's a few ways you can prevent and even reverse heart disease with nutrition. This is a few things I want to share with you guys today, because it's a pretty good article. And it says omega-3 fats, we talk about that all the time, cod liver oil. I cannot tell you the reduction of cardiac mortality this allows. It allows the blood to get thinner. It allows it to pump better. It allows it to do what it needs to do more easily. Now, vitamin D3 levels, you need to take it with K2. And they have been associated with the risk of dying from all diseases. Maybe the lowest 25% of the vitamin D levels associated with 26% increase of all mortality. Helps reduce the risk of heart disease. Magnesium, our magnesium capsules are magnesium brain food. I mean, you know, in a world that's gone mad over taking inorganic calcium supplementation, which is really bad for most people, for manufactured diseases such as T-score defined osteopenia or osteoporosis, despite their well-known association with increased risks of cardiac mortality, magnesium's role in protecting against heart disease cannot be overstressed. Magnesium is antagonistic to calcium. So if you're taking magnesium, you're going to have a much higher probability of not getting calcium built up in your arteries, not getting bone spurs. You know, it's so important that you take magnesium every single day. Pomegranate, we have the natural organic pomegranate powder, as I put it in my protein shake every day, has been found in human clinical studies to reverse carotid artery thickness and blockages by up to 29% within 1 year. This is the doggone pomegranate powder that we have. And then, of course, you have the citrulline that's in the HGH stimulate, which actually helps increase nitric oxide, which also helps to reduce these clogged arteries, but reverses pathologies associated with this process, as far as it's so important. Garlic is also good. B-complex, B6, B12, folic acid. All of these things are basically help to reverse heart disease. I take all this stuff every day. NACEs, another thing you need to avoid. This is bad for you. These are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. These are like aspirin, ibuprofen, Tylenol. They've been associated for years with increased risk of cardiac mortality. Reviews, you know, there's multiple studies that said how bad they are. Statin drugs. It's basically the height of irony that this very category of drugs promoted to millions globally, tens of millions in the United States alone, is the standard for care and primary secondary intervention of cardiovascular disease and cardiac mortality. And they're actually cardiotoxic. They actually increase the risks of calcium buildup in the arteries. They actually cause it. In addition to that, they decrease the ability of the body's production of coenzyme Q10, which makes the heart very, very weak. And you said the heart goes into congestive heart failure. You got to realize, you got to stay away from this stuff. Wheat. Now, next thing you stay away from is wheat. While this connection is rarely discussed, even by those who promote grain-free and wheat-free diets, wheat has profound cardiotoxic potential along with over 200 documented adverse health effects. Wheat toxicity, and why wouldn't it, when the very countries that eat most of it have the highest rate of cardiovascular disease and heart-related deaths? Now, I'm going to say one thing about this. The wheat, in moderation, if it's organic, is not that big of a deal. But guys, the biggest problem that we have with wheat in this United States, number one, is that it's all sprayed with Roundup. And also, I've talked about this so many times, it's sprayed with Roundup. Over 90% of it is sprayed with Roundup before it's harvested, and that Roundup goes right into your food. And that doggone Roundup is one of the most poisonous things you're going to put into your system. So guys, avoid wheat products to the best of your ability. I learned a long time ago when I was in bodybuilding back in college that you just have to stay away from wheat. Wheat makes you fat. Just bread makes you fat. Pasta makes you fat. I remember when I was in college, there was a place called the Subway Restaurant. It was over on Tennessee Street in Tallahassee. And the Subway Restaurant chain apparently got into a big scuffle with them about the name Subway. And they had to change the name and it went out of business. But what was interesting about it is they had the best pizza ever. I mean, the best pizza ever. I'm a highly competitive training athlete. And my friends said, let's go to the Subway and get some pizza. I'm like, okay. And I'd go to the Subway extra restaurant, and I'm working out, like, you know, all the time. and I'd order double extra beef and double extra cheese. I think, gosh, Ted, that's got to be a lot of beef and cheese. It was. And then what I would do is I'd scrape the beef and cheese off. It was delicious, and not eat the bread. And here I'm sitting here with a six-pack, you know, 30-inch waist, you know, looking like that, all muscled up. And everybody's going like, why won't you eat the bread? I'm like, because I don't want to make it get fat. I said, bread really makes me gain weight. So I've learned over the years, if you want to get fat, you know, eat pizza with the bread. Eat a lot of bread every single day. Go have three peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. You come home from work and with Wonder Bread. I mean, if you really want to stack on some pounds, start hammering the wheat and the bread and the biscuits and all the other things that, you know, that taste so good but are so bad for you. Now, it's okay. It's okay to have an occasional sandwich, you know, once every other week or whatever. Occasional biscuit, you know, once a month or whatever. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. Just enjoy it. But guys, don't be getting into a habit where you want to eat this stuff all the time. I've got a friend of mine who manufactures and sells donuts. And, you know, if you want to eat a donut every once in a while, it's not that big of a deal. Just make sure you know what they're cooked in. And see, it's so important, guys, that we all stick together with this. Because, you know, think about it for a second. You know, if I don't tell you this stuff and something happens to you, I'm kind of like the watchman up on the wall right now with you guys. Because you guys are my friends. You're my family. We all have this little fireside chat every single day. And I'm telling you how to stay healthy. Yesterday I had to install a bunch of those frost-free faucets outside. And I'm out there digging and hacking, and it's raining, and I'm in the mud, and it's, you know, and it's in the clay, and I'm knee-deep in mud, and my shoes are getting stuck in the mud from the vacuum, and I'm sitting out there going, wow, I'm glad I'm in good enough shape to do this. Now, don't get me wrong. I was perspiring. Had a couple friends show up, and they said, wow, we didn't know you'd work this hard. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's got to be done, guys. See, here's the point I'm making with that. I'm 63 years old, and I'm still capable of that type of physical labor. And you think, well, that's great. Okay, well, just, you know, think about it for a second. How many people, the other day, Austin, we were at a restaurant, and in fact, we were having pizza, and we scraped the toppings off the bread. We did that in a really cool pizza place. You know, it's called the Papico Lodge, and I have no stock in them. I'm just telling you. And they have brick-fired, oven-fired, wood-fired pizza or whatever. It's right close to the Tail of the Dragon up in North Carolina. And it was kind of funny because all these people were walking, and they all had problems. You know, this problem with diabetes and this nerve pain associated with the diabetes. And they're people are just walking around like they're zombies. They're drugged out of their minds. And I'm talking, they're younger than I am. They can barely walk, barely step. And I'm not making fun of them. This is horrible, okay? And it's just this nerve pain that so many people have from diabetes. And think about it for a second. Do you really want to have to experience this? I mean, let me ask you another question. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, how high do you want to go? How bad does it have to get before you start making healthier choices? I talked to another guy yesterday. He's a heavy equipment operator. He's lost like 20 pounds. And he told me, he says, Ted, he says, you told me a couple years ago. He said, I had to do this, this, and this because my blood sugar was high. My blood pressure was high because I've lost 20 pounds. I did exactly what you said. I finally listened. It took me 2 years, 2.5 years, actually. But now he's really doing well. And I praised him. His name's Aaron. And I said, Aaron, who was right? And he goes, you're right again, Ted. I started laughing. I said, I like the again part. But here's the thing, guys. You've got to understand that food and lifestyles have consequences. I mean, If you've got high blood sugar and you got high blood pressure, you know, and you're overweight and you're eating a lot of these bread products, you know, you got to ask yourself a question. Where do you want it to stop? I mean, do you want to have an amputation? Do you want to lose a foot? Do you want to lose a leg? Do you want to start eating right after you lose a foot, lose a leg? You say, what do you mean by that, Ted? Diabetes is the number one cause of amputations in the United States. And it's also one of the primary causes of blindness with diabetic retinopathy. I mean, you know, you got a problem here when you're diabetic of having a heart attack much earlier, especially if you're adult onset diabetic. Juvenile diabetic. And also, you got this problem with these folks that basically don't realize how much of their arteries get plugged up and how they lose circulation. Remember, insulin is a salt. It has a, you know, have your ports, even any of you guys, this is something I did when I was a kid. I don't do this anymore. You get one of these, you get slugs. You get these nasty slugs crawling around. You want to kill one. You don't want to mash it. They're kind of disgusting. You pour salt on it. It dries it up. It dies instantly, right? Just salt, just table salt. Well, think about it for a second. You put all the salt through your system with insulin, it has a tendency to really increase the risks of atherosclerotic plaquing. and it causes an over-ionization of the blood vessels, which causes the calcium to adhere to the inside of the artery wall, which massively increases the risk of the atherosclerotic plaque and heart disease. So do you really want to basically be injecting a salt into your body? I mean, this is not a good product. Insulin is one of the worst things you can do as far as gaining body fat, increasing all these diseases. You want to maintain a good insulin level. That's why you don't want to eat a lot of high sugary foods, a lot of bread products. If you take in 1,000 calories of carbs, your body dumps in a bunch of insulin, you're going to store those carbs. It's going to convert first through the liver to fat. You're going to store the fat. And so you got to realize that's what happens. And so you got to eat high protein, but not like your ridiculous amounts. You got to eat a balanced diet. You have to balance out your protein, your fats, and your carbs. Back in the 90s, also, there was a big fad. It was, you know, nobody should eat fat. Everybody should be fat-free. Everybody just kept getting fatter. Just kept getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And I'm like, what the heck, man? You can't be eating like that. You got to balance it out. If you don't have the omega-3 fats, your heart is going to have problems. Your blood vessels are going to have problems. You're not going to have enough blood flow because your blood's going to be too thick. All of these things happen all the time when you don't keep a balanced diet. So, guys, get our Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook if you don't have one already. You know, get one of our CD sets. I've got a really good CD set. It's called Maximum Success: How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. It's still available on our website. And just let me just talk to you as friends this morning. It's a lot easier to avoid heart disease than to treat it. It's a lot easier to avoid plaquing in your arteries and have to go out and have bypass surgery done. It's a whole lot easier to avoid cancer than to have chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery done. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's a lot easier, guys. Keep the antioxidants up and keep the doggone junk out of your diet. All right, Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
Oh, yeah, and another one I just want to add on as well, because I think more people are starting to wake up to this because it's so extremely toxic, is make sure you are keeping fluoride out of your diet, out of your water, out of your toothpaste, out of your mouthwash, no fluoride at the dentist. More and more and more now I'm seeing kids constantly coming down with cavities, and I'm not saying it's directly related to fluoride, but I've done research on this for years and years and years, and I always find it ironic that dental fluorosis is a very, very, very common thing now in the United States. I think they're saying upwards between 20-30% of the children in the United States now have dental fluorosis, which is directly caused from excessive fluoride exposure and actually stains the enamel. Now, of course, they say, oh, it doesn't do anything in excess as far as for weakening the teeth, but then in the same research studies, you'll find that if dental fluorosis continues to get worse from excessive fluoride exposure, that it'll actually make the teeth crumble. So I always find it ironic how, and this is just my personal opinion, there's no research study that's directly linked to it, but my personal opinion is that fluoride is being used in such excess now intentionally to increase cavities in the United States when you add in the phosphoric acid in the sodas, the coffee, the sugars, the gummy sugars, the more sugars, the fruit sugars, all this different stuff, the lack of water consumption, pure water consumption, especially in the United States. Everybody wants to either drink, you know, sweet tea or soda or orange juice all the time when they eat food and they drink. This is something that's really, really important because I personally have told you guys before, I've never had any fluoride. I don't use fluoride toothpaste, never had fluoride mouthwash, never had fluoride treatments, don't use fluoride. Don't use fluoride treated water, drink out of a well. Then I use that distiller out of the well. I've had zero cavities. And I talk to more and more kids now, and I see these kids, and they're 7, 8, 9 years old, and they already got a mouthful of cavities and fillings, and a lot of that is contributed to the soda intake. I've seen that directly. Almost everyone that I know personally that doesn't drink soda, has never really cared for soda, has never been a soda drinker, almost has perfect teeth, like zero cavities. Almost everybody that I know that has cavities or has had a plethora of cavities are big soda drinkers. So there's a correlation between those two there, and I wish more research studies would really go into that. But back to the fluoride. The max amount of fluoride is like one part per million, I think, or one part per billion that you're supposed to have by the Center of Disease Control for Healthy Teeth. The issue that nobody wants to address anymore is that they put a significant amount in the municipal water supply that people drink. It's in toothpaste. It's in mouthwash. Then they give you fluoride treatment when you go to the dentist. It's almost impossible now. If you follow all these things that they tell you to do, you're going to get dental fluorosis, or at least, at the very least, massive amount of fluoride exposure. We already know, we've seen the research study that came out, I think it was about a year ago now, that came into detail and talked about the link between prenatal exposure to fluoride and the increased risk of ADHD in offspring. We've also seen how it causes significant issues with the thyroid. That's been directly shown in research studies now. There are so many direct, nasty side effects from fluoride. It is a byproduct from aluminum phosphate production. You can't even buy this stuff. As far as civilians, if you guys don't know this, by the way, you can look it up. Fluoride is such a toxic compound from aluminum and fertilizer, basically, production, that it's so toxic, it is illegal. It is illegal for the general public to dump any sort of fluoride product or chemicals relating to that into natural waterways or release the parent gases in the atmosphere. It is illegal. But then they turn around and take the same compound and they pour it into the municipal water supply because it's supposed to allegedly strengthen your teeth. The problem is now they've done research studies and shown that drinking fluoride water has zero impact on strengthening your teeth. The research that they did actually try to come out with and say that fluoride in toothpaste may reduce your risk of cavities was on toothpaste-only research studies, and it was very, very slim at best. The problem is you can't do a legitimate research study on proving fluoride actually prevents cavities in toothpaste because you would have to go in and take your controlled group, and every single person would have to eat the same, drink the same, live the same. Everything would have to be identical in those groups to make sure that you didn't have one group, well, they're highly inclined to drink more coffee or soda. The other group that's using the fluoride toothpaste, well, they're trying to be a little bit healthier. They're not drinking those. There was none of those restrictions in the research study whatsoever. So you know that it's not really accurate. Then you look at the fact that when you see max this level of fluoride exposure that we're getting now in the population, it's causing dental fluorosis, and all these kids are coming down with it, and the cavity rates are going through the roof in the United States now, and everybody just wants to put their head and say, oh, the CDC said fluoride's good for me, so I should just guzzle it. Let's guzzle it. And there's so many doctors, as far as dental associations now that I've seen that are coming out now and saying, we really need to question the aspect of fluoride being in the water. We still think it should be in toothpaste, but the exposure that we're getting to it now in all these different areas in the water doesn't seem like it has any type of significantly positive impact. All we're seeing is dental fluorosis become worse and worse and worse in the population, and yet most people don't even want to look at the facts. That's why I tell everybody, make sure you're getting purified distilled water with our distillation system, or at the very least reverse osmosis. Don't be drinking public water supply water. Use our toothpaste. Use our mouthwash. Fluoride is one of the easiest things to keep out of your diet, but it's also one of the easiest things to allow into your diet. I think it's Colgate or Crest now. They're in a giant lawsuit with basically a fluoride advocacy group that are trying to expose fluoride because they said it's false advertisement on how much toothpaste they show on the toothpaste depiction, on the illustrations on the boxes. They say that the max amount of toothpaste for an adult you're supposed to use for the max amount of fluoride is the size of a green pea on your toothpaste. Yet on every single depiction on boxes, they show somebody filling up almost the entire length of the toothbrush with a giant, thick, fat line of toothpaste all the way down it, which is entirely too much fluoride to even be considered safe. So these are things like Dad was just talking about and I'm talking about now. These are things you can do right now. Right now, you can proactively change your health, your family's health, your friend's health by just a few simple changes that really don't even make that big of a difference as far as in cost or time or energy, but can make a huge difference in your overall health, your energy, your mental acuity, your longevity, and all of those of your family and your children. So please wake up to the fluoride stuff right now, because more and more research is coming out now. You have to have your head so far buried under a rock in the sand to actually believe fluoride's healthy for you now. It's almost a joke, Dad, but I just wanted to bring that up again because I keep seeing more and more research now that's showing the truth about fluoride and why you should never, ever, under any circumstances, allow this stuff to go into your body.
CIA push after World War II, because the OSS turned to the CIA. They pushed it into the water supply because to make people servile and infertile. That's it. That's the only reason. They knew what it was. They knew how poisonous it was to start with. They came up with a bunch of bogus studies about basically reducing the risk of cavities. All a lie. Just lies. They're not true. They're not true studies. They're just lies. And, you know, the risk of fluorosis is so much greater than supposedly the hardening of the enamel with the fluoride that it's not worth the risk, Austin. It's not worth the risk at all. And, you know, and like you said, and what's funny is we have fluoride-free toothpaste at Health Masters. And I'm going to be very just let you guys know, if just everyone here listening today, these you guys, there's so many of you listening, bought a tube of toothpaste from us every year, every month, it'd be great. Would fund this show because we do it without commercials. And guys, thank you for doing that. I mean, there's a lot of you go, I don't take vitamins. Dude, everybody listening right now brushes your teeth, I hope. And I guarantee you that a lot of the people are still buying fluoride toothpaste that are listening right now. And I mean, I just pick up the telephone, call 1-800-726-1834, or go online and order a tube of toothpaste or four or five tubes of toothpaste. My daughter out in Montana, we send her a couple tubes of toothpaste every month because she said, I don't want to use the fluoride toothpaste I hear at school. I'm like, okay, go ahead. Oh, just an update on the Third Temple, by the way. The former rabbi of the old city of Jerusalem, one of the leading rabbis in Israel today, said in an interview, we must do everything in our power to rebuild the temple now. Rabbi Avigdor Nebazal is an Israeli rabbi and a legal scholar. In cases of law, previous authorities are inconclusive. I'm not going to get into all what he does. He used to be the chief rabbi of the old city of Jerusalem. That's been taken over by his son now. And he says, we need to build the third temple now. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys, since I talk about it all the time and nobody else seems to want to talk about it anywhere ever besides us. I just thought I'd let you know that. Also, speaking of, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Alan Dershowitz defends an op-ed now suggesting that the age of consent for sex should be lowered. Of course he does. Birds of a feather flock together. People have similar evil characteristics and interests, especially ones who society has disapproved of. Who often spend time with each other on private jets to exotic islands. This is an article that's at the I've got to publish it. It's on the Health Blaster's website, and it's basically saying they want to drop the age of consent. Well, there's a reason for that. They want to make pedophilia legal. They have a problem with going to jail by having sex with 10-year-olds or 8-year-olds, and they want to make sure that they have the ability to, you know, get whatever they want to get through the United States Congress. Now, here's another really good article from Global Research posted on our website. With criticism crushed in the West, Israel can enjoy its impunity. This is an interesting article. Recent events have shown a spotlight not only on how Israel is intensifying its abuse of Palestinians under its rule, but the utterly depraved complicity of Western governments in its actions. The arrival of Donald Trump in the White House 2.5 years ago has emboldened Israel as never before, leaving it free to unleash new waves of brutality in the occupied territories. This is an article by Jonathan Cook. Western states have not only turned a blind eye to these outrages, but are actively assisting silencing anyone who dares to speak out. It is rapidly creating a vicious spiral. The more Israel violates international law, the more the West represses criticism, the more Israel luxuriates in its impunity. This shameless dissent was starkly illustrated last week when hundreds of heavily armed Israeli soldiers, many of them masks, raided a neighborhood in Sdr Ba'ir on the edges of Jerusalem. Explosives and bulldozers destroyed dozens of homes, leaving hundreds of Palestinians without a roof over their heads with total impunity. During the operation, the extreme forces used against residents as well as international volunteers. There was a forlorn hope that their presence would deter violence. Absolutely not. Didn't deter anything. Video showed the soldiers cheering and celebrating as they burned and blew up the neighborhood. House destructions have long been an ugly staple of Israel's belligerent occupation, but there were grounds for extra alarm on this occasion. Traditionally, demolitions occur on 2/3 of the West Bank placed by the Oslo Accords temporarily under Israeli control. That is bad enough. Israel should have handed over what it called Area C to the Palestinian Authority of 20 years ago. However, instead, it has hounded Palestinians off these areas to free them up for illegal settlement. I'm going to post this article. And it says, there's another article here that says, Israeli ethnic cleansing, land theft, apartheid, and racism against the Palestinians. And here's the reason I'm saying this to you guys, and I read this article to you. Because whatever. This is what it is. with 50 to 60 to 70 of our congressional leaders and senators with dual Israeli citizenships, most of them Democrats, pushing open borders and pushing what they're pushing on the borders in the South of the United States with unlimited immigration and basically opposing the same laws in Israel, forcing these Palestinians to be pushed out. This irony has no bounds. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. So I just wanted to point that out to you guys today. Guys, I love you. I have the opportunity and just the privilege to pray for you again today. You mean so much to me, and I mean this very sincerely. It's like we're having a little fireside chat every day. We're sitting by the fireplace on the back porch. We're all sitting here. We've got about 10 or 15 or 20 chairs or whatever. We're just sitting here, and you guys are asking me questions, and I'm talking, and you're talking, and we're having a really good dialogue. That's what we have every day with you guys. I love you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your supplements and your toothpaste and other things from us. You guys rock. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Austin. I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and close her up.
Absolutely, bud. No doubt about it. I mean, this is what we're continuing to do and trying to bring the truth to everybody the best we possibly can. And, I mean, and keeping everybody healthy. I mean, that was how we started all this. We've been doing it for decades now. I mean, this is what we try to do is wake everybody up and help everybody have more energy, have better mental acuity, and just feel overall better. Because, I mean, as Dad always says, we're not on this world that long. You might as well feel good while you're here and not be, you know, all slugging around, feeling horrible, no energy, out of breath when you walk up a flight of stairs. So be sure, if you need anything, check out the website, healthmasters.com. Thank you for all the continued support that everybody's been sending us as far as all the emails, lots of positive feedback. Be sure to check out the website at Health Masters on the product of the week, the magnesium and malate acid. Remember, magnesium functions in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. Magnesium is crucial all the way from the heart, for mood, for circulation, for cramps, everything. Magnesium is crucial for. So we have the capsules, the magnesium and malate acid capsules on sale right now for product of the week, over 10% off. And of course, we also have our magnesium brain food powder that we also have on the website as well that you can check out if you prefer the powder with the magnesium theanate, but the magnesium and malate capsules are actually on sale right now. So be sure to check that out, and also the CBD hemp oil. We have the 3-pack special and the 6-pack special up on the website as well for people that want to use that in bulk. Thank you for the support. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay sharp. Stay awake. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.